So the scripture reading today is from John chapter 11, and I'm starting in verse 11 to 37. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Jesus reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his feet and hands wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
So for the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the I am statements of Christ in the Gospel of John. So I'm just going to review these five. Today is the fifth one. There are seven. So we only find this in the Gospel of John, right? The other synoptics don't have it. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So first of all, I am the bread of life. John 6. I am the light of the world. John 8. I am the gate, or I am the door. Could go either way. John 10. that I am the good shepherd. We looked at last week, John 10. And now today, I am the resurrection and the life. And so I had suggested that all of these I am statements are, I mean, obviously they're metaphors, right? It's a picture. Jesus using these pictures. I am the gate. Clearly, he's not a gate, but he's referencing himself that he can be perceived as a gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. So all five that we have looked at or will look at today are ways of seeing Jesus. And Jesus said a lot of puzzling things, right? I mean, people did have a hard time with him. So even here with the I am the resurrection and the life, and he raises Lazarus, as we're going to see, from the dead. But the text goes on to say that many believed and many did not believe. Many just kind of said it was a trick, something. They went on and said it wasn't possible, and then they went and reported him to the Jewish leadership. And so, clearly, it took faith to really understand what Jesus was saying. They were. Some comments were clear, others were unclear. And so the same with these statements. So Jesus is using these metaphors, is my point, to give a window on how he can be understood. And this one, I am the resurrection and life, is perhaps the peak of all seven that have an impact on us. So numbers 3, 4, and 5 are closely related of the seven statements. They deal with death and life, good and evil, darkness and light. These are the themes that we have. So we'll jump into this fifth I am statement. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so this statement itself is capturing two ideas at once. It's talking about physical life, and at other times it's talking about spiritual life. So when we read this, when we hear it, we have to determine, okay, where is it physical life and where is it spiritual life? What is Jesus saying? Because he mixes the two up. I am the resurrection and the life. So we noted last week that all of them begin with the statement, I am. There's an emphasis on I am. I personally, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the gate. So there's a big focus on the I am statement. Jesus wants us to really clue in to him and his hearers to clue in what he's saying. So that's where the text goes. So what do we begin with? So we've just heard the scriptures read to us, and Jesus and his disciples have heard that Lazarus has died. Now, Lazarus is a very good friend. Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary, maybe are his best friends other than the actual disciples. If you're watching The Chosen, if you ever got to this point, they do a very good job on this scene of the resurrection, of the raising of Lazarus. When the disciples hear, Jesus says to them, here's one of the puzzling statements, Lazarus is sleeping. And they say, well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. And then later he says, no, he has died. When he makes that point. So it's again, it's this mixture of understanding and not understanding. Jesus waits for 3 days. So Lucy made a good point, excellent point, of how the understanding in the day was the soul would hang around the tomb for 3 days, 4 days, and then be gone. Person would be dead. So Jesus waits for 3 days. You can imagine, he's not that far away. And Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are very, very good friends. So when they send a note to Jesus that Lazarus is dying, please come, it would have been very puzzling to them that he waits for these days, don't you think? Normally, we would probably send a note right away. We wouldn't wait a bunch of days. So it talks about the issue of delays. So just getting into the story, the human experience of waiting. We know that delays in life are inevitable, right? A bunch of you, I'm sure we're all waiting for something. Elsie's in, what, grade 12 now? She's going to go to university, so she's waiting on which university she might get into, right? So there's a teen waiting on something important to them. What university? You could be waiting on exams. You have to write exams. You could be waiting on a job possibility. You could be waiting on a house you might buy. I don't know, an apartment you might get. Waiting on an illness and a report from a doctor, right? All kinds of waiting. And we all experience this a different way. So as we note, delays in life are inevitable. The issue then is, how do we handle these delays that come our way? How will this family, Martha and Mary, and even Lazarus, as he is ill at the end, how do they handle it? How did Lazarus handle the fact that Jesus didn't come right away? Very, very close friends. He knows he's not far away. Jesus doesn't come. So there's probably a lot of disappointment, don't you think? Probably some anger. Probably, for sure, sadness. And so even as we have our waiting, whatever it might be, we ask ourselves, well, then how are we handling that waiting in life? Just as we begin and look at the story, how do these characters handle their waiting? Sometimes we handle it okay, right? Other times we don't handle it so well, particularly if it goes on and on and on and on. That can become very frustrating, and we can become angry. We're waiting. We want the issue resolved, but we keep waiting. So the story begins there. Upon arrival, we see that Jesus talks to the two different sisters separately. The first is Martha. There are various stories in the text about Martha and Mary. Martha is the one who likes to keep a very clean house and prepares the meals. She's very practical, at least is presented that way. Mary's a little bit more dreamy, more emotional, more let it roll, let it respond. And we have folk in our church, both styles, right? We're all different. So Martha comes, and she says right away, Martha says to Jesus, "Jesus, if you had come, Lord, if you had come, my brother would not have died." So there's a bit of confrontation in that. Sadness for sure, maybe a little bit of anger. But she says, "I know even now what you ask, all things are possible." And so I would suggest at the beginning, we're going to come back to these verses, but Jesus is certainly giving hope because he responds with the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though they will live, even though they die. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Stay close to me. I am the key person here, if we're talking about resurrection. Jesus is saying the resurrection is in me." Now that's a crazy, powerful statement, is it not? C.S. Lewis used to write God in the Dock, and he would say, Jesus is either who he is, the Son of God, or, he says, he's a lunatic. He is completely nuts. He is either the Son of God, now C.S. Lewis is saying this, but who can say, I am the resurrection and the life? I am the good shepherd. All these things. How can someone say that if they are not the person? So Lewis would say that as an apologist, saying, okay, now you have to deal with that. Jesus is either who he is or he's crazy. And therefore, some people did think he was crazy, right? He was demon-possessed. Because how can people say this? But Jesus is making the point, if we are going to know resurrection, then we must be connected to Jesus. He is the way. Next week, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pastor Tom's going to speak about that. Life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. So the focus is draw the circle small, be connected to me, because that's where the life is. It's not a theological point. This is an experiential point. Be connected to me and there is life. Without me, there is no life. So Jesus says. So he's giving her hope. At one level, he's giving her hope. And the key issue here then is, are we connected to Jesus or not? And again, we'll come back to that point. So with Martha, Jesus is trying to encourage her that there is yet hope. Martha says, well, yes, I know that at the end times, there is the resurrection. Pharisees believe that. Mary, Martha, Lazarus seem to believe it. But Jesus is saying there's even hope now. So we deal with the issue of hope. Secondly, we have the conversation with Mary. And Mary is definitely connected to her feelings, and she is grieving. And she comes and says to Jesus the same thing, I would say even more powerfully, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she is weeping. And not only is she weeping, but all those around her are weeping. And we see Jesus, an interesting word there is used, he's deeply moved or he's disturbed. Look at this in verse, it's an unusual word. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. That first verb, greatly disturbed, KJV says he groaned. Unusual word. He groaned. Verse 35, we have the famous statement, Jesus began to weep. Shortest verse in the New Testament, right? Jesus wept. So all of this emotion is happening right here. Jesus is disturbed. Jesus is groaning. So the issue then here is why? Why this emphasis here in terms of such a deep response? Well, certainly there is compassion. There is solidarity with us who are in sorrow for whatever reason. But I think he's particularly thinking about death. That death really is an interruption. The human race, in the garden, there was no death. We are in life, in a life relationship with God. And ultimately, we will be in that case as well. Just life, Zoe, abounding life. But because of sin, death has entered into the world. Jesus is groaning over this reality. So I would say at one level, Jesus is now in battle with death. And I think this is part of what's really bugging Jesus at this point. And at that point, he says, okay, where is Lazarus laid? And then they will go to the tomb. The top level, Jesus is sharing grief with Mary. With Martha, there's hope. With Mary, there is grief and compassion. Jesus in solidarity with her, with the whole situation, and it tells us that Jesus is in solidarity with us. You in your situation. You in your pain. You in your hurt. Whatever that might be. All around the world, right? There is so much destruction going on in our world right now. So many wars. So much pain, so much hurt, everywhere. But God is a God of compassion. God is a God of mercy. And his Spirit is with us, I believe, with everybody in the world. If they will turn, if they will look upward, the Spirit of God will be there in some way. But we have to look to him. So Jesus in solidarity with us. So we talk about delays. We talk about pain, and death, and hope, and now we talk about God's compassion being in solidarity with us. This is all kind of background to the story. So with that, then Jesus says, okay, where have you laid him? This comes to the key point, as Lucy was saying. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. So now we have the picture of Jesus at the tomb. And I'm saying here, Jesus at the threshold of life and death. Jesus in battle with death. Lazarus has died. And Jesus wants to give the people a sign, a real sign. This is one of the signs of the Gospel of John. There are a variety of them. That with him, there is new life. There is Zoe. What better way to show that than the raising of a person who is dead? So Jesus is going to do this remarkable thing. Jesus at the threshold of life and death, in battle, groaning over this reality. And so he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus is able to get up and shuffle out. He's bandied all up. Imagine how that would be. That would be incredible for everybody, right? Incredible for Martha, for Mary, that their brother is now alive. So how can we imagine that? How do we see that? Jesus calls Lazarus forth. And one day, we will also be called forth. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, the twinkling of an eye, that many, many, many will rise up. If we have faith in Jesus, we will rise up. That's our great hope, the twinkling of an eye. So as Jesus was raised, it's a picture that we also will be raised as we are what? Connected to Jesus, because he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's where it's critical. So if Jesus is just an idea to us, if Jesus is just a good man that we want to follow, he's a model for us. If we watch The Chosen and we like him, we like the actor who presents Jesus, okay, and I say, I want to be like that guy. It's just all an idea in our mind. That's not sufficient. What we're talking about is abiding in Jesus. Jesus, John uses that language. Abide in me, even as I abide in you. Be connected to Christ. This is absolutely pivotal. So that's the invitation, and no one can force you to do it. You have to do it. I have to do it. Stay close to Jesus. No one else can do it for you. We all have to do it. Every generation, you have to make your connection to Christ. So Jesus calls Lazarus forth, and he also presages our own calling to Jesus. So this is an amazing statement of hope. But note, there's this divided response, that some believe, verse 45, and others do not believe, verses 46, 47. The man comes out of the tomb, 4 days dead, but there's still unbelief. And so a refusal to change. They won't change. A hardness of heart. And unfortunately, we can develop hard hearts. Do you ever feel like your heart's getting a bit hard? Not as sensitive to Christ maybe as we want it to be. Just a little bit hard. That can happen to us. Pharaoh's heart was hard, right? Pharaoh was like us. What's different with Pharaoh than us? He was a man, person. Heart grows hard. And so our hearts can grow hard. And I think it happens over time and we don't even know it. But it's getting solidified. It's not as soft and tender as it once was. I think when I was 18, my heart was softer than it is today. I don't know why. Maybe it's just life. Everything happens. You get a little bit fossilized like the chrysalid, right? So we have to watch it. Father, soften my heart. Make my heart so it's not hard, that I can be responsive to you. Respond to what you're about. So that's where that story ends. So where do we go with it? First of all, we mentioned this last week, I am the Good Shepherd. Resurrection life is here and now. I am the resurrection. We have eternal life. How? Because we're connected to Jesus. So if you're connected to Jesus today, you will have and have eternal life. All those who believe in me have life, even though they die. Have life, spiritual life, even though they die, physical death. So it's spiritual and physical. And that kind of bounces around in these verses. So I am the resurrection is life begins now. I am the resurrection and life, and so that's what we want to stay close. We want to stay close to Jesus. If you do that, you have life. Eternal life. No matter what happens, you have life. The worst thing could happen to you, whatever that might be, but if you're connected to Jesus, you still have life, eternal life. That's a crazy, crazy hope. That's the truth. That's one of the powerful I am statements, number five. In the face of death, there is hope. We've said that. Note, we weep, yes, despair, no. That's the point. Weeping for sure. Somebody has died, a friend, a relative, someone close to you, a spouse. Sure, weep, yes. But as a believer, despair, no. We don't give up. We have faith, we trust, we depend, we lean. So death is not final. So a threshold to new life. That's what this story talks about. And thirdly, finally, maybe there's something here that encourages us to rise up, whatever that might be. In your life right now, what needs to rise up? What new breakthrough needs to happen in my life or your life that we might rise up? That we might be sensitive together to the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus. We might rise up. That we're not just going through motions. We can get to that point in life, right? We just kind of go through the motions. We don't expect anything. We don't anticipate anything. But here we're encouraged to look to Jesus and rise up in whatever situation you're facing. Whatever thing you might see happening in 2026 or 2027, whatever it is. How can we respond and have faith and rise up? So I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's the great hope. That's what Jesus is saying here. So may we have resurrection and life and stay close to Jesus. Abide in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.